You're listening to City Church Manchester. We are a church that invites everyone to enjoy Christ for the glory of God. If we can serve you in any way, then visit our website at citychurchmanchester.org to find out more.
The Book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. If anybody needs a church Bible, Gilbert will come round with them. And in the church Bible, it's on page 1105. The church in Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul.
Thank you so much for reading for us. And do keep your Bibles open, and we're going to look at this great passage right now. But before we do, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your glorious, expansive grace, free to us to receive, yet so costly for you to give. And as we hear of your expansive grace in this passage, Father, we pray, please move our hearts to be more like your heart, our vision for church to be more like your vision for church. And Father, may we realize and know the privilege of partnering with you in the advance of your church. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, I'm not just saying this because I've been invited to preach here, but I love City Church. I love you guys. Now, I know that I'm to love my brothers and sisters in Christ because Jesus tells me to do that, and I do. But one of the reasons I love you is I love your big vision. I love your vision to become a diverse city center church planting hub church. I love your vision to serve the most needy and the most vulnerable. And I love the fact that part of the money that you've raised, those £5,000, has gone towards Silver Cord. Do you know that so many people in Denton, lonely people in Denton, benefit from Silver Cord? So thank you already for partnering with us in that. And I love your vision to generously support church planting with people, with prayer, with pounds, not just in Manchester, not just in the UK, but across the whole world. And I love your vision because myself, my family, the four guys here and more, we have benefited massively from it. As I said, I've received church planting training here, gospel coaching here, prayer from all of you guys, and much love and care besides. And my kids even tease me that on a Thursday when I say, oh, I'm off to City Church today, I drop them off at school and then I head off in, they're like, the staff must be sick of you, Dad. You don't even work there. What are you doing? So sorry, guys, if you are actually sick of me. But here's the thing. When we left the Church of England last summer, because we couldn't no longer partner with bishops and churches that had left the gospel behind, we needed gospel partners to stand by us, to support us, to get us back on our feet and get the gospel back out there in Denton. And you were those people, alongside others from the Anglican Mission in England and elsewhere. But you were those people. And I love you for it. And we love you for it. And you've got a great vision. And I know it's easy to cast a big vision. I've been trying to do that with Rock Church Denton. You can talk a big game, but it's quite another thing to put it into practice. And here's the thing. You guys are doing that. But I also know it's costly. I know that because over the last 10 years, I've seen Ralph go progressively grayer. I've seen Matt lose more hair. And now I'm slightly doing both as I'm trying to plant a church. But I love your big vision because it's benefited me and others greatly. But I know it costs you guys big time. Do you feel that cost? As you sit hearing the vision of your elders for your church family, are you thinking to yourself, that's just too costly? Can't we be comfortable now? Can't we go for something a bit more comfortable? I'm sure you heard, well, you did. You heard last Sunday about the cost of getting involved in growing and training. And this Sunday, you're hearing about the cost of church planting and how it can be scary business, costly financially, costly relationally. And maybe you're thinking, it's too much now. It's just too much. It stretches the budget too far. I've lost too many of my friends to church plants over the years. And I mean, I know you're thinking already about seeking to employ 5 new employees to meet your vision. Is that just too hard, too much cost? Can't we just go for something a bit more comfortable? Well, what does God have to say to you, City Church? That's what we're going to dive into from Acts chapter 11, and we're going to find out all that the Bible passage that we just read says to you. So please turn it up again if you haven't got it. It's on page 1105, Acts 11, 19 to 30. And we're asking this. Is City Church's vision to resource and plant churches throughout the UK and the world too costly to you? Shouldn't we just go for something more comfortable? And we're going to ask the question to the about planting to the mother church, to our mother church, yours and ours in Denton. And the reason why it's a monumental turning point in world history. The church in Antioch that we read about is the first Gentile church ever planted. That means it's the first church for non-Jewish believers like many of us here today. And it's in Antioch. Could we have the next slide up, please? And we'll see where Antioch is. There it is. It says, in the Med above Israel. It was, at the time, the third biggest city in the world, with lots of people from loads of different places. It had the poor people and the prosperous people living side by side together. It was very much like Manchester. Now, just as Denton can't claim to be a city yet, I don't think we can claim Manchester as the third biggest city in the world, but we'll take the second biggest in the UK, right? Birmingham will not have it. And the church that's planted to be here first, well, that is something. The church that's planted in Antioch becomes this diverse, city center, church planting hub church. Sound familiar? That generously supports church planting throughout the known world, and that's going to go on all the way through the Med. We'll see it in the rest of the New Testament, in the rest of Acts and the New Testament. But we're going to look at it now, this church in Antioch, because it is a God-given model. It's a God-given guide to help us in considering your vision, because this is the church that Jesus built to reach the nations. And this is the church that City Church you're modeled on. But we're going to find, as we consider the planting of the Antioch church, that church planting is, yes, it is costly. There's no doubt about it, it's costly. But it is oh so glorious. And to partner with Jesus in his far-reaching, never-stopping, grace-filled mission to reach the world through church planting is a privilege beyond our wildest dreams. And my prayer is for us that God will speak to each one of us, each one of us here, each one of you here, counting the cost of this great big vision that helps so many other people like us, but costs you, that eventually you won't see the cost. As you hear of this glorious church that God plants through his people, as you are reminded of the glorious things that you, City Church, are doing through God around Manchester and beyond, you won't look at the cost anymore. And as you think about the privilege it is to partner with Jesus Christ in his grace-filled mission to the world, you won't be thinking about that cost anymore. You'll be rejoicing. So let's get to it. And the first point I want us to see is that church planting is costly. Now, the book of Acts is all about what Jesus did next after his death and resurrection. Have you ever thought that? What did Jesus do next? Well, Acts tells us he spent 40 days training his disciples in their mission to the world. And he said that he was going to send them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, the surrounding areas, and to the ends of the earth. They were going to be his witnesses. That was his mission. Now, it's not like a court case witness, that kind of thing. It's not like that at all. It's about going to tell people about Jesus and about him. And then Jesus ascends up to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, which means that he is ruling. That's where he is now. Jesus is ruling. And we see his rule throughout Acts, and it's thrilling. We see that actually as Jesus rules, he is unstoppable in getting his plan done and getting his name and growing his church through the nations. So we see him ruling over all circumstances, languages. We see him ruling over stonings, arrests, persecutions to get the gospel out and grow his church. But getting the gospel out is costly. It's costly. Have a look with me at verse 19. It says, "But now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews." And then it goes on about some others who took it to the Gentiles. The disciples who took the word of God out from Jerusalem, when they left, they didn't have a big cake. They didn't have the church gather around them and pray. They didn't have a leaving party. They ran for their lives. Stephen, one of their own, who had been out there preaching the gospel, had been arrested and was martyred. He was stoned to death. And the rest of them saw that and ran. Now, I know one of the costs of being a church planting church is that you send a team of your people to another part of Manchester to reach new people for the gospel. Leaders and loved friends leave. It's not comfortable for you. You miss them. We miss them. It's costly. And I know it cost you here to be a church plant in the first place. For those who came on your launch team over a decade ago, you had to move into Manchester. Now, that's a privilege, isn't it? But it's also costly. You had to leave church families you loved. You had to leave friends and loved ones. And just to set up a church with a vision to reach new people, and you knew that there was such a need in Manchester, and you came with a vision and prayer. But that's so costly. The upheaval of that, doing that one time, causes many churches to just go, "We've done it, now we're going to be comfortable." And they choose comfort over cost. And we're counting that cost now as a Rock Church Denton, it's not easy leaving church family behind that you love. But we count the cost to guard the gospel, and we count the cost to get the gospel out to Denton, to Tameside, and beyond. But there's more cost, because those scattered disciples begin spreading the word, telling those they meet about the good news of Jesus, some only to the Jews, because they didn't realize at that time that God's grace was to go to the world, but others to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And it's easy to say, isn't it? As we look at this wonderful passage, these believers go and spread the good news. It's easy to say that. It's wonderful. That's what we wish we were doing all the time. But put yourself back in their shoes. The people who are scattered, who are going around sharing the gospel. Well, they remember the last time they did that, one of their mates got killed for it. They would have counted the cost, the danger of spreading the gospel before every conversation. And even though we're highly unlikely here in Manchester to get stoned to death for sharing the gospel, we don't have to speak to many of our brothers and sisters, even in the city now, who have had to flee their countries for being Christian and who can't go back. Even though the gospel is the best news in the world, we know some people don't take kindly to it, and it can be costly sharing it. Well, then the church in Jerusalem hears about this church plant in Antioch, and they send Barnabas, one of their best. Have a look at verse 24. He's a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. They send one of their best to encourage this fledgling church in Antioch. Imagine losing Barnabas from your church. Such an encourager, always with a warm smile and a sweet word, lifting your eyes to Jesus. Imagine sending him. Think of the encouragers that you've sent out from City Church here. Pete and Mel, they're encouragers, aren't they? You feel that cost, don't you? Church planting is costly, and there's more. Barnabas knows that this church needs a worker to help him train new believers, and he knows just the right man for the job. The trouble is, this right man for the job is in Tarsus. That's 200 miles away. That's a 200-mile round trip. It might be 4 hours in a car for us, but Barnabas, to go 200 miles to get Saul from Tarsus would have been a massive undertaking. And when he finds Saul and brings him back to Antioch, they embark on a discipleship training course. Now, we might think, discipleship training course, that's 8 weeks, brilliant, on a Wednesday night. They met for a whole year because they know that establishing new believers in the faith is not a fly-by-night business. It takes trainers and it takes time. So helping new Christians go deeper with God, which is so important for their lifelong walk with Jesus. But it's costly. And then what are these new believers? So these new believers are so many, which is wonderful, and we'll look at that in a minute. But there's so many that they make a name for themselves in the city. Have a look at verse 26. They're even given a nickname, and it's Christians. People belonging to Christ. It's a bit like Mancunians. People belonging to Manchester. But like being a Mancunian is a badge of honour. I don't think I'll ever be a proper Manc with my accent. But anyway, being a Mancunian is a badge of honour. Historians say being a Christian back then, being called a Christian was not a badge of honour. It was derogatory and it was costly. And then when they heard the prophecy that a severe famine was coming, which happened in the time of Claudius, 44 to 51 AD, each one of them gave what they were able to, providing in advance for the brothers and sisters they didn't even know, for a famine they didn't even know was going to come. They trusted God. They had been given much by God. They had been given much by this church in Jerusalem. They had been supported in their time of need. Now they dug deep in their pockets to help their brothers and sisters in their time of need. And it cost them. And it cost them to send it safely too. They didn't have Western Union and things like that back in the day. They had to send it with the most trusted people they had. And the most trusted people they had were their pastors, Barnabas and Saul. They sent them. And City Church, I know you know, partnering with other churches in this way, it costs time and it costs money. And it's not easy for you when Ralph and Matt fly around the world to meet church partners to encourage them and to be encouraged and to bring that partnership deeper. And it's not easy for you to give part of Matt's time each week to Gospel Coaching UK to help people like me. And it's not easy for you to give part of Ralph's time each week to set up the Northern Gospel Project, again, to help people like me. We're delighted about it. I'm delighted about it, but it costs you. Church planting is costly. I don't need to convince you of that, but I don't want to deny it either. Being part of a church that plants churches is costly. But as you read that passage in Acts, you think the cost is what Luke wants us to get hold of. That's his main point. It's not. We're just getting started. His main point is much more thrilling. So the second point here that Luke wants us to see is that church planting is costly, yes, but oh, it's so glorious. I wonder if you could flick on to the next slide. Anyone recognize this? Maybe you do. One of the things I love about being in Manchester, where the city meets the peaks, being in Denton, is that you can get out into the peaks. And it's a wonderful, isn't it? At the moment, the weather is so good. It's glorious. You're up in the green hills. You know, you can just look around. You can see the city. You can see the peaks. It's fantastic. But another amazing part of the peaks are the Victorian architecture. I'm talking about the dams, the tunnels, the viaducts. These guys had massive vision. And it cost them. This is one of my favorites. So this is in Marple, the Marple Aqueduct and Viaduct there. You can cycle along this path, I often do. And you can just look down a massive drop there. And you can see the water right there. It's a bizarre experience. Imagine if you're going across in a canal boat. It looks like you're flying. It's fantastic. But it's a massive vision. And it would have cost them tons. But we don't even think about the cost when we look at them, do we? We just see them and think they're glorious. That's what Luke wants us to do, to see this church in Antioch, to not think about the cost, but see how glorious it is. And that's what I want you to see and feel as we read through this. So the scattered disciples spread the word in Antioch. It's so costly for them to be there. It's so scary for them to speak out. But have a look at verse 21. What happens? A great number of people believed and turn to the Lord. And you think, wow. Wouldn't you love that to happen in Manchester today? Would you worry about the cost, what it cost you then? You wouldn't, would you? You'd be standing back and praising God for his mercy to so many. And, you know, as you've pursued this vision over the last decade here at City Church, God has been drawing people to himself through you. From 30 people to over 300. 68 people being baptized. Can I tell you, in Manchester, that's almost unheard of. That is wonderful spiritual fruit. I take it that it's not just Denton that's a bit of a spiritual wasteland, but the whole of Tameside, the whole of Manchester. 68 people being baptized in 10 years is great. And imagine being the church in Jerusalem, missing Barnabas and his warm words. But would that be the first thing on your mind when you receive the letter back from him? Saying they're going well in the faith. And I encourage them to stick with Jesus. And do you know what? The Lord's brought a great number of people to him through this church. Would you be thinking of the cost then? No way. Think of Trinity Church that we just saw on the video with Pete and Melk. You sent a few years out. It is amazing. 120 adults and over 45 children. Do you know, in our Planters Collective and at other prayer meetings, we've been praying for a church in North Manchester for years. Look what God's doing through you. It's fantastic. It's glorious. Do it again, City Church. Do it again. And what of this year-long discipleship training course with Saul? So costly to set up and run. Yet the new believers are now living such distinctive lives among their workplaces, among their friends. The whole city has got together and given them a nickname. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't we love it? I don't know what they'd call us other than Christians, but wouldn't it be amazing for Manchester to give us a nickname because we were living such distinctive lives for Jesus? That's the aim, and that's glorious. And then when this church hears about the prophecy, about famine, I'm sure they'd have weighed the prophecy, but then decided it was of God, and then there was no quibbling. It would have been much easier to think, gosh, what if that famine comes and hits us? What if we end up starving because of it? Surely we should save our money for that rainy day. But first and foremost, they think of that church in Jerusalem. And each one gives as they're able. Everyone playing their part to relieve others. Do you know, I believe if everyone did that, if everyone in the whole world did that, we would eradicate world poverty. How wonderful would that be? We can't influence everyone, but Jesus Christ can influence us through each other, through the encouragement of one another, to dig deep in our pockets to give to brothers and sisters around the world in need. It is costly, but it is so glorious. And it must have felt glorious to them to know that when the famine hit, that the Jerusalem church could eat because of their gift. It's so glorious to see this church planted. unbelievers reached with the gospel, new believers trained up, deep rooted in the faith, and then this church beginning to support. And as you'll see through the rest of Acts, you don't have to read far to send out workers throughout the known world to plant churches, because new churches reach new people, and Christianity spreads throughout the known world, and it's glorious. That's what I see in your vision, City Church. That's what we're building in our vision in Denton. And when we focus on that glory, then we're ready to count the cost. And we're ready to throw out the comfortable. But there's more. And here is Luke's main point. Yes, church planting's costly. Yes, it's glorious. But by church planting, we get to partner with Jesus in his far-reaching church planting plan. What does Luke want us to see here? Well, he hints at the cost of church planting. He thrills us with the results of church planting. But really, he wants us to see who is behind church planting. We see it in verse 21. We see it in verse 23. We see it in verse 28, and it's shot through the other verses too. Who's behind planting this glorious church? Verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them. Verse 23, see what the grace of God has done. And verse 28, it's through the Spirit that those people can prophesy. It is Jesus, by his Spirit, the risen ruler of the universe, building his church throughout the known world, and he's doing it through his word, reaching new people through the planting of churches and Christians going out and speaking his word to others. And it's transforming people's lives, and it's glorious. But his is not a small plan for a small group of people. No, his is an unrelenting plan, a tidal wave of mercy that does not stop until it's flooded the nations. It's far-reaching, it's worldwide, and as we see, as this first Gentile church which is set up opens the floodgates for church planting to go around the Med, it goes all the way to Manchester. From the Med to Manchester, how about that? And Jesus still has the same far-reaching vision. There are still places, there are still people who have not heard, and the great thing is we get a part to play in that vision. And I was saying this morning, it can feel a bit up there. We're going to do church planting. We're going to be a church planting hub church. We're going to reach new people in new places through supporting and planting churches. And you guys here are here encouraging that and sending people out and counting the cost. But I want to say to you, it is glorious to plant churches, and it is glorious to partner with Jesus in the planting of churches. And I want to tell you a story on the ground that happened this week so that you guys get a taste for what it means. It sounds all a bit ethereal and up here, but down on the ground, what does it mean that you are partnering with me, partnering with Jesus, seeking to plant churches around the country and worldwide? I was chatting to a lady this week. She said to me, "Mark, if you knew what I'd done, you wouldn't speak to me ever again." Now, do you know what a delight it was for me to say? It was such a delight for me to say, to look that lady in the eye and say, "Do you know, God knows everything you've ever said, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever done, all those things that you think I'd run a mile off if I heard, God knows. And God sent Jesus to die for you because he loves you so much, he wants you to be forgiven. And if you put your trust in him, that forgiveness is yours." But that's not it. God doesn't just want you to be forgiven. He wants you to be his child and shaped in his image. And so he sends his Spirit into your heart, who will transform you from the inside out, so that you can drop the burden of guilt and find freedom in this new life in Christ. If God doesn't run away, but draws near to you, that's what I will do too. Whatever you confess, I will never not speak to you again, because God runs to you. Do you know what a delight it is to partner with Jesus in speaking the gospel truth into someone's life when they feel broken and unworthy. I tell you, it's one of the privileges of my life. And the reason that I can be out there speaking these gospel words to people in places like Denton is because of church partners like you. You partnering with me as we both partner with Jesus in getting the gospel out. And our good news is not skin deep. It goes to our hearts and Jesus heals us with it. And we want thousands of those conversations around Manchester, don't we? And the way God gives us to do that throughout our city and the world is through churches planted and supported in each local place. And we get to be a part of that. Part of the reason I could have that conversation was because of your support. And that doesn't come by getting comfortable. That comes by counting the cost. So City Church, here today is what Jesus is asking you. Will you look at the glory of church planting, the delight of partnering with Jesus, and count the cost of getting behind your vision? Now, if you don't, you could go for comfortable. You could go for comfortable. You could say, we're going to keep our money and we're going to keep our people. We're going to keep our pastors. And you'll get much more time with your pastors. And you'll see much more of your friends. And you might have a flashier, I don't know, chairs with arms or something like that. But it's not the way to partner with Jesus in his far-reaching worldwide mission. That kind of attitude kills the church. Because you're inward looking, not outward looking, and you will dwindle and die. Being comfortable is not an option. You won't be comfortable for long. No, I know, City Church, so you're going to go for costly. Costly yet glorious partnering with Jesus. He took up his cross to save us. He will help us take up ours to count the cost. Because then we get to see how Jesus, through us, isn't that amazing? Through us, builds his church. 68 believers in the last 10 years. Jesus was building his church through you. Don't we celebrate that? It's amazing. That is God's miraculous work. Person by person, transformed to enjoy Jesus forever. People we then get to meet, befriend, serve with, train up, send out. And as we do, we watch Jesus' tidal wave of mercy flow from out from Denton, out to Dubai, and beyond. And have a look with me, finally, at verse 23. What does this do? Barnabas, who counted the cost, what does it do? When he saw all that the grace of God had done, what was Barnabas? What was the word? What will we be? Glad. Glad. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for the cost that he paid, the ultimate price that he paid to save us, to build his church here. And Father, we long to have hearts that want to continue building his church, not being comfortable, but counting the cost ourselves, taking up our crosses and following Jesus Christ. And Father, I want to thank you for this church who have counted the cost so often over the last 10 years. Pushing and striving and seeking to build your church here in Manchester, but not just for themselves, to build themselves up and puff themselves up, but to reach people in new places through new churches planted. And we pray that you would help this church as they count the cost, not even see it, because of the glory of partnering with you and the gladness it brings. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.